Well, friends, good morning again. Thanks for gathering here. Thanks for bringing the church into this sanctuary. This morning, I have the privilege of introducing our preacher, who is well known to many of you. I'm guessing most of you here. Dan Crosby has served faithfully as an elder here for Dan. Yes. As an elder over the past several years, in fact, last year he preached his first sermon at Crosspoint, and I was out of town and had to catch the podcast and he did a wonderful job, but I was so sad to have missed it in person. And so I'm so thankful that his willingness to come and to serve. I was out of town the last couple of weeks and I'm thankful to not have to prep while I was out of town. And so Dan is going to be bringing God's word to us this morning. If you don't know, Dan's lovely wife, Rebecca, and their daughters, Evelyn and Daisy. So wonderful family, longtime partners here at Crosspoint. We are taking a one-week break from the book of Revelation. And so we'll pick that back up next week. I don't think we even have more like two chapters at a time anymore. I think it slows down a bit. But anyway, I want to invite Dan to come up, and he's going to be preaching for us this morning. So thank you, my friend. So grateful for you. So I got to hear the chapel service this morning. Dan did a wonderful job. Excited for what is this? Come on, man. So it was awesome. So I'm going to pray and then turn it over to you. So Heavenly Father, thank you for my brother here. Thank you for my friend, Dan. God, I pray that you would, as you have, God, you are working in and through him. And I pray, God, that the work that he's done in preparing his own heart and the things that you've been teaching him, God, I pray that he would be that channel, that conduit of your grace and mercy and love. God, I pray for us that you would help us to have ears to hear. God, give us humble hearts that we might receive from you this morning. God, work for your glory and for our joy, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jamie. I think I can speak for all of us and just like a big welcome back to the Heart family. We love you so much. Thank you for not leaving and staying away. That was a little bit nerve-wracking this morning at 8:50, and I got a text from Jamie. I'm almost there. I was like, okay, good. You're still coming back. What are you known for? How does your life show who you are? As Jamie has already graciously mentioned, my name is Dan. I'm one of the elders, so the honor of being one of the elders here at Crosspoint. I've loved serving this church and serving our God in this position. I am husband to my wife, Rebecca, and father to my two beautiful girls, Evelyn and Daisy, who, don't worry, I'm not going to say any embarrassing things about you guys anymore after this. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a follower of Jesus. I am an artist, sculptor, I like to say. I'm a woodworker. I co-own a business with a good brother of mine, making furniture for people, trying to bring beauty into the world. But none of these titles, none of these names let you know who I am. My actions do, I hope. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. We have been journeying through the book of Revelation. It's for weeks now, right? We've been listening and humbly interpreting through the skill and study of Rusty and Jamie through what God is saying to us, the church now, and to the church that heard it first. The context of which was a message of both warning and encouragement, recognizing the lordship of Jesus Christ, and to see how through the power of the Holy Spirit we can live for him. So most recently, the past 2 weeks, we were in chapters 14 and 15, and we were speaking about the 144,000 as a symbol of a multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-generational church, the new Israel, the redeemed, who were suffering persecution for the name of Jesus Christ. And the revelation is also an encouraging word to them to endure and to wait on the Lord. And as much as I wanted to preach on chapter 17, which my Bible wonderfully titles The Great Prostitute and the Beast, I had the option. Today we're going to take a pause just for a moment And I think we can tease out and reflect on some of the things we've been learning so far. We'll be spending time in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. And I'll be looking at three questions. You don't have to write these down, but what to wear, how to be, and what to do. And I think in the mastery of the scripture, that this word is exactly connected to what we've been reading about in Revelation for the past few weeks. And as Jamie often says, you don't need to hear from me. You don't need to hear my thoughts and opinions, although I might have one or two. We need to hear from the word of the Lord. So if you're willing and able, would you please stand as we read Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, we praise you. We love you. We worship you. Father God, I praise you for raising the sun in the sky. I praise you for the birds chirping. I praise you for the slight breeze and mostly muggy air. I praise you for coffee and for breakfast and for song and for dance. I praise you for these walls and the souls that are embodied here, Lord. And I praise you for your son, Jesus, and the work that he has done, so that as the song said before, we get his merit. Lord, open our eyes, unstop our ears. May we have hearts to hear what you have to say to us through your scripture today. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so quick historical context. This letter is written by Paul in one of his many stints in prison. It's written to a church that he's never met, to a city that he's never been to, Colossae. He's gotten this information from the man that's planted the church, who first heard the message, Epaphras. And he's visiting Paul in jail and explaining all the great things that have happened in his church, and now all the things that they're facing, all the challenges and hardships. There was conflicts of how to live and who to follow. And the church was growing at a growth rate that brought attention to a lot of folks, and those folks wanted to wield the power for themselves. They were seeking to sow discord and confusion, and honestly, very similar to some of the seven churches that John writes to in the book of Revelation. Actually, in fact, one of them is Laodicea, which Paul, at the end of this letter, is also writing to and encourages the church in Colossae, after you read this message, give it to them and make sure you read my message to them. So this message is closely bound to what we have been listening to and learning from for the past few months. Here, Paul is trying to affirm the true gospel, the gospel that they first heard, to live their lives out of that truth. He spent the first part of the letter reiterating the lordship of the risen Christ, and that they should not be persuaded into following anybody but Jesus. that they should not devote themselves to their own works above Jesus's works for them, and that he and not they have raised themselves from the dead. My kind of funny ears, I got a little feedback, I apologize. Everybody knows that technology doesn't work for me. So we're picking up in the middle of Colossians in chapter 3, where Paul is encouraging the church to live in Christ, and to live in Christ is to be alive in him. So we pick up verse 12. It should be up on the screen, all of which, by the way, I had nothing to do with. These beautiful graphics behind me. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Put on then. This is a response to the earlier verses that we'll get into in just a minute. But I just want to take a moment and pause on this just beautiful qualifier that Paul says, the naming of who we are in Christ, chosen ones, holy, beloved. Let that sink in for a moment. If you are here this morning and you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you are God's chosen, holy, and beloved. And if you're not sure if that's you right now, that's okay. Know that you're not here on accident, and know that you are invited to experience that grace and that love today. Okay, back to it. What do we put on as his chosen, holy and beloved? Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. These are often called virtues, but today we're going to call them garments. And we can't just pick and choose whichever ones we want. We're called to wear multiple garments, and not the garments we often think of when the with the Lord's armor in Ephesians 6, heavy, battle-ready stuff, but lightweight, breathable, temperature-regulating, lots of pockets. Now, for those of you taking notes, here's the list again. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, which I like to call quiet strength, and patience. How do you guys perceive this list? Daunting? Seem pretty easy? Or just more work? I think it's all the above for me. What I think is really important with this list is the concept of putting it on. These qualities are ones that we need to wear daily. And the more we are conscious of wearing them, the less we will actually have to think about them. These will become second nature to us. Now, to help us here, we need to go back a few verses to verse 5, where we see what Paul is calling us to put to death. He says here, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is adultery. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." Church, that is us. We are the new church. We are new humans. Christ in all. We've been redeemed from our old clothes, shabby rags, filthy rags, from an old way of living, chained to our sin to a new life and a new way to be human. Through the life and death and resurrection of Christ, we are now invited to be fully human, fully human. I often consider us being human as being sinful, but be now, as in Christ, we are the true image of God. We are now human. So first things first, what do we wear? Wear these, back to the list. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, quiet strength, patience. And here are some definitions to help those. Compassionate hearts are to have empathy for one another and to desire to help. Kindness is to show a friendly, generous, and considerate nature. Humility is freedom from pride and arrogance. Meekness or quiet strength, enduring injury with patience and without resentment and patience. Bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. And I love this. Not hasty or impulsive. Writer and pastor Scotty Smith calls these grace garments and says that they are never out of style, breathable but warm, and very comfortable when worn next to the heart. They serve us well in every setting, every day. And I'm going to read that again because I just love it so much. They are very comfortable when worn next to the heart. And they serve us well in every setting, every day. Now, if you thought that Jamie wasn't speaking would mean that you would be relieved of a Lord of the Rings reference, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I also love all things Tolkien. And this idea brought to mind in Lord of the Rings when Frodo is about to go on his big adventure and his uncle Bilbo gifts him this shirt of magical steel called Mithril. This garment was so strong, but so lightweight, and it saved his life on multiple occasions in the book. And I love what Bilbo says to Frodo here. He says, "Here's a pretty thing, Mithril, as light as a feather and as hard as dragon scales." And I'm welling up because so too have we been gifted garments of grace that have stood the test of time and that can take anything the world can throw at them, and they're still as effective as ever. Here are beautiful things. This list, wear these. Next, we're given by Paul some practical applications on how to be when wearing these new clothes. Verse 13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. We have all endured some manner of interpersonal hardship. Amen? Whether it's in our workplace, amen. Whether it's in our church, amen. Whether it's in our families, amen. Or simply the person in the 10 items or less lane that has 19 items and a fistful of coupons. Not speaking from experience. No matter what it is, we are called to wear our garments of grace and bear with one another and bear with one another. Paul goes on then to quote the Lord's Prayer. I love this, reminding us to forgive as we have been forgiven, reminding us that the wrath that we're feeling towards another is only a fraction, a minuscule nano thing, big versus the amount of sin that we have accrued against our God and our Creator, that Jesus Christ has paid for on the cross. we too should show forgiveness. Remember, church, we are redeemed. Galatians 4 says, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Church, we are redeemed and we are sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. Amen. Paul continues by doubling down here, though. This is the best, like, run-on sentence. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I guess there's a period there. But he doesn't stop there. He triples down. I'm not sure if that's a thing. He wants to make sure that we get the picture. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. I love that Paul has no qualms with starting all of these sentences with and. My wife, Rebecca, a writer, and my editor on all my college papers, would have reworded this if I had written it. We got a lot of grief during that time. And our friends never seemed to believe me when I said that I was going to my girlfriend's house to help me write my paper. But I assure you, I needed all the help I could get. I got through college with her help. But back to the point. Paul can't be stopped. He's just so excited. He wants to drive home the importance of these new garments. And this new, real, human way of living. But there's one more garment. Love. Love is the last garment we need to don. And it's the one that brings the whole ensemble together. Current definition of love is defined as a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties, affection based on admiration or common interests, unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. And the Greek use of love here is agape, which is the highest form of love that could be found. Theologian N.T. Wright says this of love and this passage: love is the binder of all these other virtues. Without it, they can become distorted, and unbalanced. Without love, that list of wonderful garments can become distorted and out of balance. Now, I mentioned before, I'm a woodworker, and one of the things I love to build is tables. And when we build tables, we take a number of planks for the top. We will make sure the edges are nice and clean. Then we will apply a wood glue on the edges, a nice binder. We will clamp these boards together nice and tightly, let it sit, and then unclamp them. And now all of these boards, which were individual at one point, are now one, bound together by this glue. And because we're nerds and we like to mess with the things that we've created, we often do stress tests on the joints and on the glue. And every time when it is effectively done, the wood on either side of the joint, of the glue joint, breaks before the actual break happens on the glue. I think this is a great example of what and how important it is to have love in and through all of this. Verse 14 again says, above all these things, put on love, which binds together everything in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. N.T. Wright adds this last thought: when love has its full effect in the community, it will result in peace. With the addition of love, we now are fully clothed in Christ's likeness. Okay, when I was a kid, and now, I love Batman. I just the best. This sermon could be a lot longer if I just spent my time talking about that. But when I was a kid, and now, whenever I see the montage of Batman suiting up, it's just great, right? The music swells, and what a cartoon or live action, and we can talk about all that mythology another time. He's putting on his boots. He's got his super cool gloves with his spikes on him. He's clicking his utility belt. But he's not Batman until he puts the cowl on, right? And he puts the cowl on. So cool. He's Bruce Wayne. He's just Bruce Wayne wearing some tactical gear. Like, you're hoity-toity. What are you doing? Oh, wait, you're Batman. We are not truly human until we put on love, till we add love to the mixture, till we add love to these garments. We can't truly see ourselves as the new human until we do that. But how? How do we do this? Verse 16 and 17, I think, help us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything, everything, in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Church, that's what we're doing today. We're doing it right now. We're Sabbathing, we're gathering, we're uniting, we're collecting. We've come from all corners, united to love and worship our God. We're remembering where he found us. We're remembering when he rescued us. We're remembering how far he's brought us, giving space for reflection of his sanctifying work in our lives. Romans 6:22 says this, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." Church, we are living in the now and the not yet. This is a message we've been hearing now for the past few weeks and studying in Revelation. We are living an in-between life. This is the life of sanctification. It's not easy, but we've been declared holy, not because of our works or the actions that we have done, but because of Jesus' finished work on the cross, his actions on our behalf. We are now living in light of his finished work. Amen? Our sanctification is a lifelong process of becoming more Christ-like every day. Done by us? No. Done by submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit? Everybody nods, yes. He guides and leads us daily to put to death sin and put on Christ. This is not easy, but it is what we are called to. And it is literally then us living out verses 8, put to death our sin, to verses 12, put on these things, the image of Christ. So we gather on Sundays to sing. The second song, I stopped, and to hear the beautiful voices, not from the stage, which are beautiful, but the beautiful voices of this congregation singing in unison is something to behold. I would suggest you all do it, but that if we all do it at the same time, we won't hear anything. We gather together to learn, to worship, to sing, to fellowship, and it shouldn't stop here. It shouldn't stop here. When we walk out these doors, it should only be the beginning. It's not meant to be sequestered to this one place, to this one day. Practice this as much as possible. That's what Paul is saying. Practice it in ways that work for you. Deuteronomy 11:18 says this, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." We are being encouraged to spend time with him daily in the word, maybe meditating on a single verse, Repeat it over and over. Ask through the Spirit to open your mind and your heart to what He is teaching you through it. Might I suggest, as a place to start, Psalm 145. Here's the first three verses. A song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Linger in these spaces and be thankful. N.T. Wright then says, the center of the Christian living is a grateful worship. So in our worship, be thankful. I'll end with this. Listen to music. Look at art. Walk in nature. Sit with someone in grief. Dig in the dirt. Bring a meal to someone. Create something with your hands. Defend the weak. Help the poor. Read, write, sing, dance, work, and rest. All in the image of Christ. All garmented with grace. And be reminded that in all of those moments, Christ would have a compassionate heart. Kindness, humility, quiet strength, and patience, and love. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Jesus, Holy Spirit, we love you and we praise you for the opportunity, the freedom to gather together and worship you. Lord, we are a collection of people at all varying places in our life of sanctification. And yet we are your image bearers, desiring to glorify you and worship you. And we praise you for this word. We pray that you would apply it continually to our hearts, that you would help us and move us and lead us to be your image bearers, Christ-like here and now. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.